your Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Monday, September 13th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is getting excited about this fall weather we're having here. Kind of means hockey is even closer.
Yes, love the fall weather, although it looks like summer's creeping back in a bit, but I am a sucker for snuggly things. I mean, that's the best way to describe the fall. Give me a scarf, give me a comfy sweater, give me the shorts and a comfy sweater combo. It's underappreciated, but I always dig it. So yes, bring me the fall, bring me apple flavored things and pumpkin flavored things. I am that basic.
Well, to keep track of our weather reports and fall weather attire, follow the podcast on Twitter at Lockdown Flyers. You can also email the show at lockdownflyers@gmail.com. I am your host, Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. And today I'm here with the lovely Sarah Siders, who's on Twitter at Sarah Siders. Who are this season's top 50 NHL players? Find out on the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, and I revealed the top 50 players as voted on by our local experts across the Locked On NHL network. Subscribe to the Locked On NHL podcast on YouTube and turn your notifications on so that you never miss an episode. On today's show, we are going to talk about Sarah's off-season Flyers grades. We talked about it a little bit with Russ, so we're going to get Sarah's take on what Chuck Fletcher did this off-season. And then related to one of those signings, we're going to talk a little bit about Keith Yandel's Iron Man streak and what that means for the Flyers this upcoming season. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. So hit that subscribe button and you'll get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. So before we get into Sarah's off-season Flyers grades, just wanted to quickly touch on some of the commemoration that happened this past weekend for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. There is a bit of a Flyers connection here, of course. 20 years ago, you know, about, I think it was 9 or 10 days after 9/11, the Flyers had their first preseason game at home against the New York Rangers. So, of course, given that we were playing a New York team, there was a little bit of extra significance there. It was the first event back at Wells Fargo Center, though I think it was the first Union Center then, Sarah? Am I right there?
That time it would have been First Union. I don't think it was Wachovia yet.
Yeah.
But it was probably not Core States. I think you are correct. I think it was First Union there. Don't hold me to it.
Yeah, all the banks. All the banks in that building. So I think like the main takeaway from that game, you know, was the show of unity amongst the teams and, you know, respect for the Rangers having their city be directly affected by it. You know, I live in New York City, so it certainly has been, you know, a bit of a somber few days here marking that 20th anniversary. And I think, you know, the biggest thing that came out of that game was, you know, it was a preseason game and it didn't count. So they actually stopped the game to show then President George W. Bush's address to the nation. And they had started showing it on the big board between the second and third period. And then when the third period was supposed to start again, people booed when they took it off the screen. And, you know, they put it back up there, watched the entire like half an hour of it, wound up not finishing the game, and they just ended it. And there was a handshake, which doesn't usually take place outside of a playoff series.
Since it was just about 20 years ago now, so many of my memories of it happening are intermixed with other people's tales. But if I'm remembering correctly, I was listening to the game on the radio. I was definitely keeping abreast of it. Something that nowadays, like if I weren't watching, I definitely have Twitter up, but this was 2001, no Twitter. But I was keeping track of the game. I believe I was listening to it on the radio. And it really felt like the moment. So many times now in the pandemic, we even joke about it that the what we would give to live in precedented times because of everyone constantly saying it's the unprecedented times and everything being new and unsettled. And in the immediate wake of September 11th, my God, did it feel that way. You know, every day I would wake up to the news, which I didn't do. I didn't used to wake up to an alarm on my TV, but I would wake up to the news every morning. And the Flyers returning was a bit of comfort. And the game was a rough game, as I recall. And then just having this moment where both teams stopped to watch an address from the president. And that is just unheard of. And it's because the fans demanded it. The fans, you know, booed until they turned it back on. And it really did feel like, okay, we're living in different times. You know, I think it was around September 20th, September 21st was a hell of a lot different than September 9th, September 10th of 2001. And it really did feel like, are things ever going to be the same? Are things going to continue? Here's a hockey game between two heated rivals that stops and ends in a handshake. You know, in retrospect, it was more just symbolic, but it's not just a bit of Flyers history or hockey history. It's a bit of American history as we all tried to process the tragedy and move forward however we could.
Given the rivalry on its own, that preseason game had several fights in it before it stopped. So it was kind of a, you know, a bizarre but yet appropriate contrast in hockey versus what was going on in the world around us. So it's just, you know, something I think about from time to time about the Flyers and the team's history.
You know, there's a lot of things that we hold up in Flyers history, and in the grand scheme of things, it's just a game that we're talking about. You know, it's a game that we love. It's a game that's very important to us, but it's just a game. It's just a sport, except for moments like this where it really does transcend entertainment, where it really does transcend getting around with some friends to watch a hockey game, and then, you know, using this moment for us all to collectively process something. You know, the players, the organization, the fans, all of us shared in this moment, and it's just as much as Flyers history as the Broad Street Bullies, as the Holmgren Gate, as the Montreal Brawl. This September 11th moment is a key part to Flyers history.
One of the most memorable non-hockey moments in Flyers history, for sure. And, you know, hopefully the team will be making history on the ice this upcoming season. So when we get back, Sarah's going to give us her off-season grades for the team. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. Right now, there are odds up for preseason NHL betting, too. Put your wagers down on the Stanley Cup, playoff teams, and division winners. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbors, best friends, login for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle. and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
All right, so looking at the future of the Flyers, Sarah, you joined the show earlier in the summer as a guest talking about this past season and how you were feeling about the team overall and what you thought the team needed to do this offseason. Now that Chuck Fletcher and the rest of the management group have done it, how are you feeling relative to where you were at the beginning of the summer?
Vindicated. Vindicated is probably the most succinct way to say it. Because I felt like a lone voice in the wilderness promising people that Chuck Fletcher would address the needs of the team. And you feel a bit sheepish when no moves have been made just yet. But I stayed, you know, steadfast. I said, Chuck's going to improve the team. This team will be better than last season. And joining the show as a guest, when I did, it was right at the end of that miserable season, the beginning of the off season. And you and Danielle had asked, what was my one non-negotiable demand? Something along those lines. And I said, I wanted to see a big move, a big splash, something to show the league, the fan base, and the team that the Flyers meant business this offseason. And Fletcher more than delivered. With that Ryan Ellis trade and when it happened, and the probably more coincidental than anything, it was the last big move before the roster freeze for the expansion draft, all eyes were on the Flyers. And if you want to talk about grades, for the offseason at the whole, we'll get there. But for the Ellis trade, A+. Chuck Fletcher addressed the Flyers' number one need and did it by moving out Nolan Patrick, who I'm rooting for the guy. I really, really am. But he didn't seem to have much of a future here in Philly. And I don't know if the relationship was beginning to sour, but the relationship may not have soured yet, but the expiration date on that milk was getting really close. So Nolan Patrick did not have a future in Philly. Phil Myers, you have to give up something to get something, and he's a question mark. To bring in Ryan Ellis to be on that top pair with Provorov, I know Russ said that he's not certain that those two are going to end up together. I'm more aligned with conventional wisdom. I do think that Ellis and Provorov are going to be a pairing. I think those two can really be dominant. And that right there began the summer with a bang, and he just followed through. Chuck kept improving the team. You know, there are other moves to be made, but the Cam Atkinson addition followed shortly thereafter. Yes, we moved out Jake Voracek. Jake is a great player. He was a Flyers fixture. But if we were talking about changing the locker room, changing the dynamic, well, you got to move out some of those fixtures. And Cam Atkinson is a player I really love. I'm a Boston College girl. I'm a big fan of BC. And Cam is going to be hugely popular in Philly. He really is. He's shoot first. That's going to make people happy. He's effective on power play and penalty kill. He's defensively responsible. And he's just an all-around good guy. So those two moves there, slam dunk, A+ for those moves. After that, it gets a little bit wonky. You know, I'd consider sort of the next tier of moves, the sort of question mark tier. And that comes down to two reclamation projects, unfortunately, with Ristolainen and Martin Jones. And if those work out well, they can be a big improvement, but there's question marks there. There is no guarantee that those are going to work out well, whereas Ellis and Atkinson feel far more certain to me.
It's interesting that you're grouping these in terms of sure bets versus risky as opposed to the needs of the team. I think that's a really good way of looking at it. Whereas, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, what are the defensive moves that they made in order to shore up defense? Because that was the most important thing that the Flyers needed to do. And then what are the forward pieces that are now there to complement the core that still exists on the team? And then what was the goaltending solve? But you're looking at it like, you know, what is the surefire bets versus the maybe riskier bets? And I think that might be a better way to approach it.
Well, thank you. It certainly addresses the need of my anxiety. You know, I can look at this team position by position, but I kind of like to count my eggs before they're hatched, to torture a metaphor there. I want to know what I need to worry about and what I need not to. The addition of Ellis, I don't worry about that top pairing. Now, I'm a big Ivan Provorov fan. I have an Ivan Provorov jersey. I want the guy to do well, but he doesn't seem to be ready or willing or able to be the number one defenseman and the sort of captain of the defensive group. Early in the year for the Flyers last season, before everything had fallen apart by March, but back when it still looked pretty uncertain, I noticed a lot of scattered play in the defensive zone. It felt like half the team was chasing the puck, as opposed to just confident in playing their position. And I really hope that Ellis, well, not only do I hope, I believe that Ellis is going to come in and bring that stability so that even if the defense is struggling, they're playing it the right way. And that comes down to that. I feel comfortable with these moves. If we want to talk about the defense in areas I don't feel comfortable, or I don't feel comfortable yet, really is the Ristolainen trade. I don't care about the number one pick going out the door. That is spent money. And to make things happen in a flat cap era, you got to give something up. Ristolainen is a big, big question mark. And I tried to watch as much tape as I could on him from last season. And I know he was dealing with COVID and some of the lingering effects of it. And what I see in Ristolainen is it looks like a guy who's been burned. You know, he looks like someone who does not trust his goaltender, who does not trust his defensive partners. He doesn't trust the wingers and the centers to cover the people that they should. So positionally, I would see that him being in a good position, but maybe not the right position. He was playing as if he wasn't as skilled as he is. He was playing like a third pair guy who didn't have the speed that Ristolainen has, who doesn't have the pure hockey skills that Ristolainen seems to have. He was playing like somebody who was afraid that if the player got past him, that was a puck going in his own net. Hopefully, he can leave that hesitancy and those bad habits behind. You know, sometimes defensemen, you know, any player on the ice, but a defenseman especially, develops bad habits, and you see them have those bad habits their entire career. So you just have to hope that Ristolainen can bounce back from all the Buffalo adversity. And I think it's a good gamble, but it's certainly a gamble.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And, you know, we'll talk more about the depth signings here, which we haven't quite gotten to yet. But shoring up that top four in the defensive group, I think, was one of the most important things to do this offseason. And Ristolainen, to your point, is kind of the biggest question mark going into this upcoming season. So hopefully going into this upcoming season, I don't have to stress eat as much as I did in the past couple of years. But if I do that, I'm going straight to Built Bar. Built Bars are a soft protein bar, but they taste just like a candy bar. They have 18 amazing flavors to choose from. There's something for everyone, no matter what your tastes are. But some of my personal favorites are raspberry, coconut, strawberry, cherry barcia, salted caramel, and cookies and cream. And if you can't decide, sometimes like I can't, you can order a mixed box where you'll get two of each flavor. But the best part is that they're healthy. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in that delicious treat. They've got 17 or 18 grams of protein, but only 130 to 180 calories. They're low sugar, low carb, and great if you're on the keto diet. So go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Going back to some of these off-season moves and your thoughts on them, Sarah, we had a few depth signings that Chuck Fletcher made in order to kind of have a backup plan to the prospects and youth that he felt like maybe didn't play up to snuff this past season and was kind of part of the problem. So now we have like a plan A and a plan B going into this season. And one of those signings was Keith Yandle, who is on a hell of an Ironman streak in the National Hockey League. He has 922 consecutive games played. What did you think about Yandle and the other depth signings?
I really liked the depth signings. I saw a lot of people up in arms over, hey, these guys are going to block the kids. Well, we handed the ball to the kids last season. They promptly dropped it. and that wasn't in the Flyers' plans. This is not the first year of a rebuild. This is, hopefully the rebuild is over. We should be contending. So the additions add that safety net. And the Yandle signing particularly, I was really high on, because of the skills that he does bring to the table. I know that he's had some down years, but the power play skills, the puck moving skills, Yandle's can be a good addition, a steady addition to this team, and one that means we don't have to rush Cam York or Zamula. I'm actually really high on both Cam York and Igor Zamula. Zamula, great hockey IQ. I'm really looking forward to the preseason games to just see how he has filled out and how he can compete with NHLers, with the grown men. Last season, in the preseason games, he got pushed around some. He just didn't have, you know, his grown-up body yet. And Cam, great hockey IQ. He has those leadership skills, captained Team USA to that World Juniors gold on January 5th. And he's a prospect we should be really excited about, but let's not rush him. Same thing with Nate Thompson. I don't know what more you want from your fourth line center or your 13th forward. He's a good hockey player. You have to understand what I mean when I say he's a good hockey player. He is a adequate hockey player. he hopefully will not be the reason we're screaming at the TV every night. He should be largely forgettable. He should be replacement level. And Brassard,
that's fair enough.
I mean, maybe that explains why I'm easygoing and I talk about my anxiety and my expectations. Maybe my expectations are just so low it's hard to disappoint me. But I think Thompson is the player he is, and I think he'll be fine. Brassard, again, I think he has a lot of upside and really buys us a lot of time for a younger player to take that 3C role. If it happens, if not, and if Brassard plays well, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I do too. One of the interesting aspects of the Keith Yandle signing that I alluded to earlier is his Ironman streak. and he is now 43 games behind Doug Jarvis for the record in the NHL. And, you know, I worry in some ways that if Yandel isn't performing the way they need to, they may want to keep him in the game just so he gets that record. They've said otherwise, but I feel like they have to say that otherwise. Like, where are you on this in terms of should they let him play and get the record versus doing what's best for the team in any given moment? And like, will they or should they?
Those are very good questions. I think that they won't, and I don't think that they should. The part of the Ironman streak is not just being healthy, which is a huge part, especially in a game like hockey. You know, we celebrate Cal Ripken for doing it in baseball. Well, baseball and hockey are very different sports. So what Yandel has done is impressive in that capacity, but you also have to earn your way in the lineup. You know, plenty of people can be healthy and bad. So I don't think Yandel has been guaranteed the record in any way, shape, or form. I started coming to terms with the Flyers being the reason that Yandel doesn't get the record. You know, when he was out of town, when he was with Florida, I was really rooting for Yandel's streak to stay alive. Now with the Flyers, I'm like, well, we're going to be a footnote. We're going to be the reason why he doesn't get it. I just think there are too many games to be played for him to take the record, and there are too many good young defensemen at the door. Unless Yandel has played 360 consecutive games when it's time to put York or Zamula in, I don't see them keeping him in just to give him the record unless he's close. And I hope I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, that means Keith Yandel is playing well, or it means the kids are playing poorly. But let's say Keith Yandel's playing well. I don't think it's going to be an issue unless Yandel's close. And I think that I'll put my money on Cam York is going to earn the job before he gets the consecutive game streak.
Those are bold words. For the Flyers prior to Keith Yandel coming aboard, Ivan Provorov had 371 consecutive games played and is the official Flyers Iron Man. Do you think he has any shot of even getting close to where Yandel's at? That's like almost seven seasons behind if you do the math.
Yeah, if I made a bold prediction before, I'm making a not bold one now. No, I don't think he will. It'd be great if he did. I think he has the skills, you know, certainly to stay in the lineup. He's got the work ethic not to get, you know, you were late for team practice, you're getting scratched this game. So I don't anticipate anything other than wear and tear being an issue. And it hasn't been in his career, obviously, so far, but it's tough.
Wrapping up with our Flyers fun thing, Ivan Provorov related, he's back in town. And if you take a look at Drake's Instagram account, that's his dog, in case you aren't familiar.
I thought we were talking about the Toronto-based rapper. But
yeah, well, you know, Drake likes Provy a lot, obviously. But it did show in those pictures that Ivan cut his hair a lot shorter. So that was a bit of a surprise coming into this season. Hopefully that will bring him some good luck.
Yeah, that's what we like to call the reverse Samson.
exactly.
So yeah, clean cut hair, clean cut play. Let's hope that works out.
Thanks for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow with a special episode that is a one-on-one conversation that I had with Flyers anthemist Lauren Hart. Really excited for you guys to listen to that. And then we'll be back again on Wednesday with a regular episode. I'll be joined by Russ Cohen. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in mailbag questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email the show at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam.
And I am Sarah. I am also on Twitter. Sarah is spelled with an H. My Twitter account is Sarah Siders, SEIDERS.
Thanks again for listening and have a great day. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.